Good morning. Thank you. Oh, that's me. It is better to eat Twinkies with good friends than to eat broccoli alone. Yeah. I did quote that in a sermon once. I believe that was, that might have been John Ortberg or something. All right. All right, y'all. We are beginning a new sermon series entitled Rooted. It's really taken out of a passage in Jeremiah that means a lot to me. It really speaks to what it means to be rooted. It goes like this: "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought, and it will never fail to bear fruit." The sermon series Rooted is based on spiritual formation. Spiritual formation is a spirit-driven process, a lifelong journey of becoming formed into the image of Christ. And Cornerstone desires to be a place where minds are transformed and where lives are changed. There is a real spiritual battle happening right now, even for your mind and for your heart. If you put yourself in position to be spiritually formed, you will win the battle and reflect Jesus where you live, work, and play. You see, the key to spiritual formation is putting yourself in position for the Holy Spirit to do its work. Now, this whole sermon series is based out of this passage in Jeremiah, that if you place yourself in position, like the tree, where you can receive nutrients, like the stream, that will help you reflect Jesus, the green leaves. But if you don't, then the battle, the spiritual battle, that's the drought, will keep you from reflecting Jesus or bearing fruit. Today, we're going to open our Bibles to John chapter 17 and discuss what it means to be rooted in our minds. Listen to Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, starting in verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and he prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you've given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of this world. They are yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything comes from you, that everything you have given me comes from you. For I've given them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you have sent me." Let's pray and talk. Father God, we do pause at this time, saying thank you for your Son who glorifies you. And our prayer is that your word will speak boldly to our hearts, and through the power of your Spirit, you might open our minds and our hearts to your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, five times, Jesus uses the word glory or glorify. That's a good church word, ain't it, Dennis? Can you say glory?
Glory.
That's really good. That's really good. We don't use this word glorify a lot in our everyday life because glorify in this context means to acknowledge and reveal God through our actions. God glorified Jesus through his life, his ministry, his power, everything he did here on earth. And Jesus glorified God through his life, his preaching, his miracles. Everything Jesus did pointed to the majesty and splendor of God. And even in his death, which is this immediate context, his death on the cross revealed God, his majesty, his splendor. The very night that he would be arrested, he prays this prayer, that God, I may glorify you. We were in Jesus' spot. Maybe we might pray, God, could the crucifixion not be super painful? That'd be great. We might pray, hey, God, give me strength and courage, right? Instead, he prays that through his actions, God might be revealed. He might be glorified as God. And then he starts praying in verse 6 that the disciples might understand this revelation of God, that God being revealed through his son, Jesus Christ, that they might be obedient to God and that their faith might be strengthened. And that's the three thought process that we're going to walk through, verses 6 through 8, that they might understand the revelation, they might become obedient to God, and they might be strengthened. So follow along your notes as we start first with knowledge helps us know God. That's not super deep. Maybe a little redundant. Knowledge helps us to know God. It's important to us to understand that the knowledge of God will help us know the glory and splendor and majesty of God. The primary avenues of increased knowledge are through Bible study and meditation. We have an incredible Word of God right at our fingertips, written in a language that we can understand. And that has not always been the case throughout history. But not only do we have this physical book that we could pick up and read, but y'all got these smartphones. Now, I'm old now. I'm a year older. But y'all got them smartphones. And what do you have on those smartphones? You have like the Word of God right there too. Life Church put out the Bible app. If you haven't downloaded the Bible app, you need to do so. There are thousands of Bible studies right there at your fingertips. Amazon, Cedar Springs, they have thousands of books that you could use and your Bible study that helps increase our knowledge of God. And Christian meditation is another common way to grow in our knowledge of God. Meditation in the Eastern religions is the emptying of one's mind. That's where you're, right? You're sitting, you're emptying your mind. Christian meditation takes it one step further, that you empty your mind so that you may fill it with the knowledge of God. Using scripture to meditate is foundational discipline found in the Bible, especially before the time that people could read, right? as the Israelites entered into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua, what did God say to the people? In Joshua 1:8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. He says to meditate on it day and night so you can be careful to do whatever is written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful. Have you ever meditated? Christian meditation, as early as Israel in the Bible, found even today. Pick a verse, pick a chapter, pick a book. Read through those words slowly. Take in what God is saying to the people of the Bible, and therefore what God is saying to you. Deepen your understanding of who God is, because knowledge does not just fill our brains with facts, but it leads us to obedience. And that's the second thought. That knowledge helps us know who God is, but that knowledge of God doesn't just fill our head with facts so that we win every jeopardy there is on the Bible, right? It is about becoming obedient to God. Get to know the God of the Bible that will lead to obedience. I once had a boss who was awful. He was lazy, did very little work, and he treated me poorly. I was never able to move up to any of the fun and cool jobs because he didn't think I was valuable. He had a few employees that he favored. They're the ones that got the good jobs. I was stuck with the grunt work. How would you like to be obedient to that kind of boss? It's no fun. It's no bueno. But the God of the Bible is not a lazy person who shows favoritism, who treats us poorly. As you meditate on God's word, you'll begin to fall in love with this God who loves you. And in turn, our obedience flows naturally, not out of obligation. Let's look at a couple ways that Paul describes knowledge that leads to obedience. Look at Colossians chapter 3, 16 to 17. Paul says, let the message of Christ, who he is, right? That's the message of Christ, who he is and how he reveals God, right? Let that message dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And then whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We've got to allow God's word to dwell in our hearts, to take up residence in our hearts and our minds. And that in turn allows us to be obedient, loving our neighbors and living acts of love. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says that all scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in what? Righteousness, that's obedience. So that the servant of God might be thoroughly equipped for what? Every good work. God's word allows us to be equipped to love our neighbors. It allows us to be equipped to love God. Knowledge truly increases this desire, and it equips us to be obedient. And finally, final thought, knowledge and obedience deepen our faith. You know, the writer of Hebrews says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, don't misquote that verse. There are some people who say that we are certain of what we do not know. Just because we don't see God doesn't mean that we can't get to know God. Many people think that faith has to be unreasonable. Step out in faith, they say. But here's the truth. The more I get to know the God of the Bible, the more I am convinced that he is real and that he is active in this world. Our faith is deepened and strengthened as we learn more about God. Some people argue that a Big Bang created life on earth. Is it not just as reasonable to believe that God created the Big Bang? Some people argue the earth is millions and millions of years old. Isn't it just as reasonable to believe that God would create an adult world millions of years old, just like he created an adult male and female? It seems like every time someone tries to argue that there is a historical contradiction in the Bible, another archaeologist digs up some truth. The more I get to know the God of the Bible, the more my faith is deepened that he is real and that he is active in this world. The book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament is a prophecy to Judah. They would be exiled to Babylon for the consequences of sin. And here's God's message to the exiles in Jeremiah 29. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And then you will call on me and come and pray, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you and bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you." And there, when people say, "There, I'll bring you back to the place where I carried you into exile." Sorry. There's a false message out there where people say, "Just believe." Friends, we are exiled on this earth together. And you don't have to have it all figured out. But if you seek God, that's it. But if you seek God, God promises us that he will be found. And you will find that this abundant life is really true. And that's why Jesus says here in John chapter 17 that this is eternal life, that you may know the one true God and his Son, Jesus Christ. If you want to be like a tree that is planted by a stream, that when the drought hits, there's no fear, those leaves are going to be green. When the sun beats down, there's no fear, there's still fruit. If you want to be like that kind of tree, get into God's word. You don't have to spend 2-3 hours studying, but a little bit at a time every day will deepen those roots, help you to be more obedient, to bear fruit. It will help you to deepen your faith. Because the truth is, the sun is going to come out, and that drought is going to hit. And if you are not planted by a stream, your leaves are going to struggle. Your fruit isn't going to come out. This morning, as we move into our time of communion, I want you to truly reflect on God this morning, who he is, who he really is. Renew your commitment to being rooted in your mind through Bible study and meditation. We have 3 communion stations set up, and while we sing this next song, reflecting on the greatness and goodness of God, I invite you to go to one of those three stations to take your cups back to your seat. And Carl's going to come up and share a few thoughts. And we will take those emblems together. Will you stand with me as we pray? Father God, I am thankful for your word and for the strength that has provided me personally in times of need. Lord, I'm thankful that your word helps us in our times of need and also in our times of sin. I pray that you'll guide and lead each one of us as we reflect. I pray that we will renew our commitment to studying who you are so that we might reflect who you are to the world around us. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us forgiveness of sins and a new life. Guide and lead us as we partake. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.